collaboration with other artists, the collaboration that you did with Francesco Clemente, Anthropomorphosis, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Did he do the paintings for?
He did the paintings for it
there.
I think in all the ones particular to him, he begins with the. I begin with his image. He does the images in the high school working. And it began with a. He used to have a substantial show of what were the washes? This a whole series he did. Bischof Berger did a catalog of it, and it is the name of the catalog. And in any case, I was then living in Finland that particular year, teaching at the university, and Raymond Foy, a very close mutual friend, said that Francesco would be really happy if I could think of something. He said, take as many as you want. There were 64 images. He said, take any kind, one or all or whatever, whatever you'd like to do. So this was our first, working in any sense together. So I chose 12 and did poems in particular, and they really hit it off. I mean, he was very pleased, not just flattered, but there was a correspondence of feeling that was very interesting, even to the general sense of the information. So with that sort of securing pleasure, we then did, not didactically or as a format, but his shows, Gargosin was showing him quite frequently at that point. So again, with Raymond's sort of very useful participation, the catalogs for at least, at least three shows perhaps, I did effectuate a series of poems, which were then with the images. Purgatorio, for example, the black paintings, and the last one I'm trying to think was again a series of portraits, gouaches, I don't think I have the poems here. And then when it came time, he had a large retrospective at the Guggenheim. And in that situation, what he wanted to do was to have a particular cluster of friends sort of take on particular parts of the show. I got Conversion to Her. I remember that was complicated, but certainly really interesting. So I did a series of each painting is characteristic of a museum, or any such situation, has a little tag that tells you the provenance of the painting, when it was painted, material, blah, 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 and any history particular. So I wrote brief poems, e.g., I'll tell you what you want, to say a word, to know the letters in yourself, the skin falls off, a big-eared head appears, an eye, a mouth. Or there's one which everybody's child walks the same winding road, laughs and cries, dies. That's everybody's child, the one who's in between the others who have come and gone, etc., etc. So I loved doing this. And I insisted on doing all the entries, I think there were 25. Then, of course, the very last minute, they began to shift the show around. So I said, well, can we take out 23 and 21, maybe? I said, no, man, I really want them there. So they didn't show up in the show. In fact, that aspect of the show was muted entirely. And the museum expectedly returned to its own authority. But in the catalog, there they are. That was terrific. So that was fun. I mean, he's a very engaging, bright man to work with. And his rapport with poets is exceptional. Not just he liked poets to hang out with, but he gave me once, he's published a substantial collection of poetry with his mother's insistence, I believe. And it's he was, yeah, he was really a very bright and curious man. So, but always in that case, this came first. Jim Diner was the other way around. Jim, I'd do the text first, and then Jim would do something. I don't think I ever, so that Mabel, that whole sequence with the curious heads, that was, he does that in relation to the text. With that sequence pictures, he does the images, etchings in relation to the text. I don't think, I can't recall anything which is the other way around. It's hard. Only once or twice have I worked in what one can call a true collaboration. I did something, the other was dancing. Now, Cletus Johnson was about the closest I got ever to that. But by and large, it was, you do this, and I'll do this. So it had a kind of, it was, but some people really get to me in the sense of ways in which they propose the world. And the fact that it's not words makes it really terrific. I mean, music can have that effect too, yeah. It's in a vocation, it's language that's not verbal. And again, today you can come happily to Peter, old friend Peter Warshall, talking about, a language that was gestural, you know, where turtle became it became gestural. And there was a very determined vocabulary that's developed, or we think it's time for chimpanzees to speak one syllable, like, whoo, you know. So if you start thinking of words not to didactically make them abstract in that way, but to think of what the little, like Ginsberg's boxcars. Whatever boxcars are. Cars through boxes, I guess. Please.
I'd like to ask you about jazz. Do you do this jazz?
Yeah, I've been doing a lot. I started getting out of the house. They're the crucial friend initially. There were two, actually, that are very crucial. Three. One, as Peter would remember, when we were living in Bolinas, we had this extraordinary neighbor, Steve Swallow, a great sort of bass genius player. And he, in turn, was an old friend of Eva Beauregard's, a fellow poet. And so our daughter, Sarah, used to babysit Steve's daughter. And so we got to know each other rather shyly, but we did connect. And then when he was back in New York, he had some money, grant money, to work with some materials of his interest and choice. So he asked me if I'd be agreeable to his working with 10 of my poems, which I was delighted. Came out as a collection called Home. And there are several crucial people to me. Steve Kuhn, the pianist, is really wonderful. And then Sheila Jordan, great. She sings the materials, just wonderful. And then not very long after that, I was in Paris for work. Another extraordinary musician just returned to this country, I guess, Steve Lacy, who's now at the New England Conservatory, had been in the audience. Earlier that day, we've been talking for a kind of set-up situation in French radio about, you know, how's jazz influence. And he was the generous person who's talking from the side of jazz. So we'd come to the reading there and liked one poem called The Rhythm. So subsequently his setting, and he went on to do a whole, you know, a whole musical evening called Futurities, which had, you know, gala, you know, performance at Leeds with Ken Nolan painting backdrop and Dante. Anyhow, lots of action. And it came out as, two CD set. It's a 20 poems in that case. And subsequently, he's worked with particular poems. In all those cases, I was not participant more than being the person who had written the initial text, like a movie made from a novel or something. But nonetheless, fascinating to hear what was done with it and how it was heard. But then, thanks to, I had a friend from Buffalo who was known as a high school kid, Chris Massey, who moved subsequently to, was a drummer, classic drummer, and he had moved to Switzerland, was working out of Switzerland, and he had had a group called Forever Shot and Vivid, which was the initial trio he had. Then he had another one called Trio Courage. And so anyhow, he wanted to come home to play in Buffalo if possible, so I was happily able to get him a place to do it. And I remember they got into town about 5 that afternoon, and the group that could manage to get Steve Spaulding to come with him. And he also got this extraordinary guitar, sort of wonderful musicians, David Torn, who does a lot with layering and computer. And then, and the lovely Reeds person, as they say, David Casty. So they all showed up about 2 hours before the performance. And I said, well, let me just introduce you guys and give you a little sense, people a little sense of what your authority is, blah, 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 and then sort of fade out. And it was a really good point. So to make a long story short, they really did say, look, Bob, you know, it's your town, you read, and we'll do it. So that ended up as a CD called Have We Told You All You Thought to Know? And then we subsequently went on to greater heights. We went to a lot of times the One World Theater in Austin. And then about a year ago, we were in the Knitting Factory, and in that wonderful weird evening at Woodstock, where it was a series of concerts. So ours was sandwiched in between something like X Trio playing Mozart's, you know, early works, or later Brahms, blah, blah, blah. And there we were with this incredible, we were seamless. We'd start, we didn't quit until it was done. I remember one moment saying, you know, with this very thing saying, that's it. to my fellows. And I remember it goes right down to where all you can hear now is the fingering on the saxophone. Then it begins to build up. I see this manic look from David Torn. This incredible thing begins to build out of that rhythm, and then until suddenly the whole place just dense with white noise. And our audience has been, I mean, I'm 76, so I think if I could date it, why can't they? But basically, it's a very old-time discreet audience. And one of the really wonderful guy who's recording said he remembers Tom Mark says his. See, one couple came out, and the husband saying, oh my, I thought that would never end. You know? There was no way to leave discreetly, because it was continuous. So I found it, I mean, I certainly didn't find a new life or a new identity, but it was fascinating to sort of put your language where your head is and see. One of the dilemmas, of course, is when to come in and when to leave. And I've listened to jazz all my life, in one way or another, all my adult life, and I was fascinated by that sort of growing out of itself. It's very characteristic of the way I work as a poet. And that's somehow an intuition, not intuition, I just right sensed when it was appropriate to enter and sensed when it was appropriate to get out. And so I could in that way play with it. Others are just, reading is just as you've heard, and so it was no, but it worked. It felt pretty good. So I didn't feel I was just being backed up by musicians or they are imposing myself. That did feel collaborative. Okie doke, thank you.